a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here, June 19th, 2021. Media Day was a couple days ago. Really fun to be in person, talking with coaches, with players, getting their insight on the upcoming season, hearing about the Built for Life Foundation, which we've discussed. And one thing I thought was really interesting was this is the first time, Mitch, that we've had the opportunity to talk to these quarterbacks. It's the first conversation I've ever had with Jacob Conover. I can't remember having conversations with Jaron Hall. We've talked with Baylor Romney, Aaron Roderick a few times, but of course there was no definitive quarterback situation. We're not going to get one. You heard from Kalani earlier. He said, why fabricate a timeline when we just need someone by the BYU versus Arizona game?
Yeah.
So to me, it's not even worth asking that question anymore because it's just a waste of time. What I did find interesting was during the state of the program, Aaron Roderick was asked about each individual quarterback. And he had one sentence about Jaron Hall, which I think has tipped the quarterback battle in favor of Jaron. And that comment from Aaron Roderick was, if Jaron is healthy, he's going to be hard to beat out. And I just think that kind of echoes a sentiment you and I have felt strongly about for a while now here on the program, which is, if Jaron Hall is healthy, because of his dual threat ability, because of that high ceiling with his athleticism, I think he's the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I do too. And I think I came out of media day feeling like he is the leader in that three-man race. Now, you know, I feel like Jacob Conover, the fact that he's in the initial post-spring depth chart listed as Jaron Hall or Baylor Romney or Jacob Conover speaks to the fact that Conover is a talented freshman and they're willing to give him every opportunity to try to potentially win this job. But Jaron Hall, the fact that he's going into his fourth fall in the program, he's been around the block. Like, that is a unique thing in a quarterback battle to have two guys that are going into their fourth football seasons in a program. Usually you're talking about whenever replacing a star quarterback, it's like, okay, you got a true freshman, you got guys that are just basically brand new. Jaron Hall and Baylor Romney have been around the block. They understand Aaron Roderick. There's chemistry there. They understand what they expect from one another. And I just feel like Jaron Hall, too, what he showed in his last appearance at BYU in a game against Utah State in 2019, he was fantastic. And you and I have both watched that game a couple different times and just kind of reexamined that because that was, again, the last time we saw him in a game. He was fantastic. He was brilliant. What the things we saw from Zach Wilson in 2020, that was what Jaron Hall was doing against a Utah State team that at that time was a favorite in that game, and BYU's scoring offense was 103rd in the country going into that contest. And he led BYU to an explosive first half that then Baylor Romney carried over into the second half. But yeah, Jaron Hall's big-time talent, and I think that, you know, he's always been ahead of Baylor Romney in the depth chart in years prior. Why would that not carry over this year? What's changed dramatically over the last, you know, 18, 20 months to suggest that Jaron Hall shouldn't get a first crack at that first string job? But I think he's going to be that first-string quarterback against Arizona. I think that's the right move for BYU, as long as he is healthy in fall camp.
And you got to read the tea leaves in these situations, too.
Sure.
Because we're not going to get a direct answer from these guys. That comment is one tea leaf that I think is interesting. Another one, we just have to remember this. Jaren Hall was an outstanding baseball player. Thought, you know, if he focused on baseball, he could go pro. He's given that up for now. Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't reverse course and go back to it. But you don't give that up if you don't feel like I'm going to be the man. If he had been told, hey, you need to do just unbelievable things to win the job, I'm just being honest with you, because I believe that these coaches are honest with these players. We hear the players tell us they are honest and open about what's going to happen and where we stand. And so we have every reason to believe that they're being forthright and honest about where people stand. The fact that he is doubling down on football and putting in more time to football makes me believe that he is the front runner for the job.
And what's great, too, is he's following in the same path as Zach Wilson. You know, Jaren Hall talked to us that he's working with John Beck at 3DQB. He's going down to California. He's doing a lot of the things that endeared BYU fans to Zach Wilson. He's making the 10-hour treks to California. He's going down there to work with John Beck. Like, you, that investment, there's a feeling that
you don't do that if you're not the favorite to be the quarterback.
Right, because at his juncture of his career, it's like he's kind of at a crossroads where this is a make-or-break year, I feel like, for Jaren Hall in a way. Like, if he does get the starting job and, say, he gets injured, it might be hard to recapture the starting job again, because I think the floodgates open for Baylor or for Conover. It might be hard to retain that job once again. This is Jaren Hall's moment. This is his offseason. He senses it. He knows it. He was very confident in Media Day about his abilities as a player. And he also talked as a player that, just in our conversations with him, I think throughout the entire Media Day with other organizations, just very, you know, confident and also very loose with the way that, you know, he spoke like a guy that just sounded like he was a starter. It wasn't like scripted, kind of coached up on what to say. He was very candid, I thought, in a lot of his answers. And I really enjoyed Jaren Hall talking to him. And I think that he is someone that would be a great story for BYU, overcoming injuries, first Black American starting quarterback in BYU football history. Guy's a great dude. He's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's just a lot to like about Jaren Hall's story. And on top of it all, he's a great football player, too. And I'm excited to see what Aaron Roderick can do potentially for a full season with Jaren Hall. I want to see that happen, and I think that Jaren Hall should be that number one guy.
And I'm glad you bring up the football. You know, we referenced that first half against Utah State. We've both rewatched that several times. I think it's important to note he went up against a quarterback that may be starting in the NFL this year.
Great point.
In Jordan Love. And he was remarkably better than Jordan Love in that football game. And that wasn't a situation either, Mitch, where he just sat back, had all day, and made throws. He was throwing dimes on the run. He was making people miss in the open field. There were critical third downs where there was pressure. He recognized the pressure, stepped up on the run, throws it. I remember one throw in particular. It was like a 3rd-and-7 near about the Utah State 40-yard line. He steps up on the run, throws it to Micah Simon, coming across the field.
Yeah.
And right on target, Simon gets the first down. They don't end up scoring. That might have been the Emmanuel Supa fumble. Anyways, we're getting into the weeds here. But the point being, he showed all the throws in that football. He can make all the throws.
And that was with the patchwork offensive line, too, where Blake Freeland was in his second start, I believe. A lot of injuries on that offensive line, and he still created the time necessary. I think the O-line is going to be a lot better this year. It's going to be tough to surpass what last year's offensive line did, but you still bring back Blake Freeland. Harris LeChance, I think, is going to be a stud at right tackle. James Empey is an All-American candidate at Sanity Center. There's pieces in place for that offensive line to protect and give Jaren Hall, or whoever the quarterback is, the time necessary to succeed. But yes, I'd
be stunned if it's not Jaren
Hall.
Yeah, I'd be stunned.
I'm getting to that point where it feels like, just hearing the competition, it's for us in the media, but I feel like Jaren Hall, it feels like it's his job to lose.
Yes.
Unless he is a complete disaster in fall camp, or he gets hurt, or he's got a 20% completion rate. Like, if he avoids all that, and I think he will, especially working with John Beck, this should be Jaren Hall's offense in week one against Arizona.
We'll take a break here. News, traffic, and weather up next, and then one of our favorite moments of the program. It's the top five. We'll do that next here. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSOSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.